Slowly but surely, I began to see the pattern of Atticus's questions. From questions that Mr. Gilmer did not deem sufficiently irrelevant or immaterial to object to, Atticus was quietly building up before the jury a picture of the Yules' home life. The jury learned the following things. Their relief check was far from enough to feed the family, and there was strong suspicion that Papa drank it up anyway. He sometimes went off in the swamp for days and came home sick. The weather was seldom cold enough to require shoes, but when it was, you could make dandy ones from strips of old tires. The family hauled its water in buckets from a spring that ran out at one end of the dump. They kept the surrounding area clear of trash, and it was everybody for himself as far as keeping clean went. If you wanted to wash, you hauled your own water. The younger children had perpetual colds and suffered from chronic ground itch. There was a lady who came around sometimes and asked Maella why she didn't stay in school. She wrote down the answer. With two members of the family reading and writing, there was no need for the rest of them to learn. Papa needed them at home. "Miss Maella," said Atticus, in spite of himself, "a 19-year-old girl like you must have friends. Who are your friends?" The witness frowned as if puzzled. "Friends?" "Yes." "Don't you know anyone near your age, or older, or younger? Boys and girls, just ordinary friends." Maella's hostility, which had subsided to grudging neutrality, flared again. "You making fun of me again, Mr. Finch?" Atticus let her question answer his. "Do you love your father, Miss Maella?" was his next. "Love him? What you mean?" "I mean, is he good to you? Is he easy to get along with?"
"He does tolerable, except when..."
"Except when?" Maella looked at her father, who was sitting with his chair tipped against the railing. He sat up straight and waited for her to answer.
"Except when nothing," said Maella. "I said he does tolerable."
Mr. Yule leaned back again.
"Except when he's drinking?"
asked Atticus so gently that Maella nodded. "Does he ever go after you?"
"How you mean?"
"When he's riled, has he ever beaten you?" Maella looked around, down at the court reporter, up at the judge.
"Answer the question, Miss Maella," said Judge Taylor. "My paw's never touched a hair on my head in my life," she declared firmly. "He never touched me."
Atticus's glasses had slipped a little, and he pushed them up on his nose. "We've had a good visit, Miss Maella, and now I guess we'd better get to the case. You say you asked Tom Robinson to come chop up a... what was it? A chiffarobe, a old dresser full of drawers on one side. Was Tom Robinson well known to you?"
"What do you mean?"
"I mean, did you know who he was, where he lived?" Maella nodded. "I knowed who he was. He passed the house every day."
"Was this the first time you asked him to come inside the fence?"
Maella jumped slightly at the question. Atticus was making his slow pilgrimage to the windows, as he had been doing. He would ask a question, then look out, waiting for an answer. He did not see her involuntary jump, but it seemed to me that he knew she had moved. He turned around and raised his eyebrows.
"Was..." he began again.
"Yes, it was." "Didn't you ever ask him to come inside the fence before?" She was prepared now.
"I did not. I certainly did not."
"One did not's enough,"
said Atticus serenely. "You never asked him to do odd jobs for you before?"
"I might have," conceded Maella. "There were several niggers around."
"All right. Now to what happened. You said Tom Robinson was behind you in the room when you turned around. That right?"
"Yes."
"You said he got you around the neck, cussing and saying dirt. Is that right?"
"It's right."
Atticus's memory had suddenly become accurate. "You say he caught me and choked me and took advantage of me. Is that right?"
"That's what I said."
"Do you remember him beating you about the face?"
The witness hesitated.
"You seem sure enough that he choked you. All this time you were fighting back, remember? You kicked and hollered as loud as you could. Do you remember him beating you about the face?"
Maella was silent. She seemed to be trying to get something clear to herself. I thought for a moment she was doing Mr. Heck Tate's and my trick of pretending there was a person in front of us. She glanced at Mr. Gilmer. "It's an easy question, Miss Maella, so I'll try again. Do you remember him beating you about the face?" Atticus's voice had lost its comfortableness. He was speaking in his arid, detached, professional voice. "Do you remember him beating you about the face?"
"No, I don't recollect if he hit me. I mean, yes, I do. He hit me."
"Was your last sentence your answer?"
"Huh? Yes, he hit. I just don't remember. I just don't remember. It all happened so quick."
Judge Taylor looked sternly at Maella. "Don't you cry, young woman," he began. But Atticus said, "Let her cry if she wants to, Judge. We've got all the time in the world." Maella sniffed wrathfully and looked at Atticus. "I'll answer any question you got. Get me up here and mock me, will you? I'll answer any question you got."
"That's fine," said Atticus. "There's only a few more. Miss Maella, not to be tedious, you've testified that the defendant hit you, grabbed you around the neck, choked you, and took advantage of you. I want you to be sure you have the right man. Will you identify the man who raped you?"
"I will. That's him right yonder."
Atticus turned to the defendant. "Tom, stand up. Let Miss Maella have a good long look at you. Is this the man, Miss Maella?" Tom Robinson's powerful shoulders rippled under his thin shirt. He rose to his feet and stood with his right hand on the back of his chair. He looked oddly off balance, but it was not from the way he was standing. His left arm was fully 12 inches shorter than his right and hung dead at his side. It ended in a small, shriveled hand, and from as far away as the balcony, I could see that it was no use to him.
"Scout," breathed Jim. "Scout, look. Reverend, he's crippled."
Reverend Sykes leaned across me and whispered to Jim. "He got it caught in a cotton gin, caught in Mr. Dolphus Raymond's cotton gin when he was a boy. Like to bled to death. Tore all the muscles loose from his bones."
Atticus said, "Is this the man who raped you?"
"It most certainly is."
Atticus's next question was one word long. "How?" Maella was raging.
"I don't know how he done it, but he done it. I said it all happened so fast.
Now let's consider this calmly," began Atticus, but Mr. Gilmer interrupted with an objection. He was not irrelevant or immaterial, but Atticus was browbeating the witness. Judge Taylor laughed outright. "Oh, sit down, Horace. He's doing nothing of the sort. If anything, the witness is browbeating Atticus." Judge Taylor was the only person in the courtroom who laughed. Even the babies were still, and I suddenly wondered if they had been smothered at their mother's breasts.